97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Thursday, and hope you are doing well. Again, a warmer day out there. It's in the 30s right now. It's going to warm up again. A little bit of rain falling already as I was on my drive into work this morning, so just a heads up about that. Not heavy rain, fairly light, but let's hope it doesn't screw up the morning commute too bad. Obviously, we are keeping an ear on what's happened in Washington, D.C. this morning. I don't know that there's a lot of new information based on what you probably heard from Fox News Radio already to this point. There's been a crash. There were 60 people on board the plane that got hit. There were at least three people on board the military helicopter that hit the plane. They don't expect to find anyone alive after this, from what we can tell. It's completely a recovery effort at this point. The water is very cold, and we're trying to get a report out of D.C. for you this morning from Fox News, but we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, at the top of the hour, Fox is going to be live with that as well. Excuse my voice. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that I hope it's not what happened back in the fall when I had some kind of frog in my throat for three consecutive weeks. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that it is just a little bit of weather change. Maybe it's the weather, Carl.
Maybe you're allergic to Kim.
Well, that's true. And Kim is back in studio with us this morning. And welcome back, Kim St. Ange.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. I watch those JFK hearings. I'm trying to keep up with everything. I'm telling you, it's a mile a minute right now. There's just the last week has just been crazy. And I had Annie Fry in here yesterday afternoon, and she said the same thing. She's like, I don't know. I don't even know where to start when the show goes on each day. And of course, she's been on in the middle of this RFK Jr. hearing yesterday, which was hotly contested. The Democrats were getting mad. They were screaming about onesies. Did you see? And I don't know if you saw that bite or not from Bernie Sanders. He was mad because some group that RFK used to be associated with is selling onesies that say "I'm unvaxxed" or something like that, and he's angry about that and wanted RFK Jr. to demand that they stop selling these onesies, and he was kind of yelling at him, and it was just weird.
I tried to watch some of the hearing yesterday, and yeah. I know it was very combative, and I expected that. Of all the people, I think he's probably among the ones who's going to get the biggest pushback.
Maybe. Kash Patel is up today. I would think that may be where the Democrats are keeping their powder dry till Kash Patel. But I could be wrong about that. I don't know. We'll see. Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel later today is when their nominations hearings. And apparently it's going to be a second day of some questioning for RFK. I don't know if they didn't get to all of it yesterday. But we've got a bunch of that sound we're going to get to this morning for you here in just a couple of minutes. And a little later we'll... excuse me. A little bit later, we will talk to Tom Ackerman, and we're going to talk about that fist fight that broke out at St. Louis University. I don't have any additional background on it other than speculation that it involved a kid who had friends or associates of a kid that had played for SLU and transferred to this other team.
DCU?
Plays for the other team now. And somebody in the audience knew somebody else because he was from here. And they got in some sort of fist fight in the audience at the SLU game the other night. And, of course, the university's reacting to it. And we'll talk to Tom Ackerman about that this morning. Anxious to see what he knows. He might have some additional insight into it. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The United States has worse health than any other developed nation. Yet we spend more on health care, at least double and in some cases triple, as other countries.
How about that? RFK Jr. there. Well, he's right. There are lots of problems with the health care system. Democrats, for some reason, are scared to death to let him try to fix it.
Today, I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000-person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, Donald Trump made those comments yesterday as he was signing the Lake and Riley Act into law there at the White House. And wait, just wait. This morning, sometime before noon, you will hear about a lawsuit being filed in federal court to stop him from detaining illegal alien criminals in Guantanamo Bay. It'll happen.
By the way, I think she's probably been put in there because, according to Donald Trump, she's a 10. You well, know that's what it is.
Every woman in the sound of my voice should be offended by what Joy Behar just said. You should be offended by it. If you've watched Caroline Leavitt in any of these news conferences, she's confident, she's sharp, she's quick-witted, she pushes back on these reporters, fully capable of doing this job without a binder in front of her. But Joy Behar wants to reduce her to her looks. Can you believe that?
Tragically, it appears that a military helicopter collided with a regional jet at DCA Airport right here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, very sad story there as we're picking up this morning. More and more details on what might have occurred here in D.C. and who might have been involved. I mean, I think to me that's probably the bigger question right now, Kim, is who was involved in this specifically. Mm-hmm. And I don't claim to have any insight into that, but I did hear something earlier on Fox News that I don't know has gotten enough attention this morning. And that is the military transport that was involved in this. All they've said so far is that it was an Army Black Hawk helicopter that was flying without its transponder on. Flying dark, in other words, is how they refer to that in the military, and which is weird because air traffic control clearly saw them on radar and was trying to get a hold of them. And here's what I want you to hear about this. Fox managed to get John Scott on the air last night. He's one of their anchors. If you watch Fox on the weekend, you'll see him a lot on there. He's also a pilot. And he was the one commenting on this that leads me to believe we may not have the full story here yet, because listen to what he described about the helicopter. Listen.
Air traffic control at Reagan National is talking to the helicopter crew. It had a call sign of PAT-25. Now, PAT stands for Priority Air Transport. Fort Belvoir there, where this helicopter was apparently based or flying out of, handles the, as I said in an earlier report, handles the Secretary of Defense flights, handles the Secretary of the Army flights on choppers. So it was a, an Army PAT-25 was the call sign, and the tower is asking him if he sees the regional jet and tells the pilot of the chopper to go behind the regional jet. And almost as soon as that instruction left his lips, you see the collision.
Is there any significance to what he's saying there in terms of who might have been on the helicopter? I don't know. I mean, I feel like if it was an elected official or a high-ranking military official, they might have said something about it already, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not unusual for those people to get flights within D.C. to local military bases and events like that. So the fact that it was a priority air transport means it was either going to pick somebody up or it had already picked somebody up and was flying them somewhere else.
Yeah. And I had heard this morning that they had recovered, I think it was 18 bodies. And I don't know if that was from the commercial plane or if that was from the Black Hawk. I don't think we quite have clarification on that. But what I did hear them say this morning on the Fox radio show was saying that I believe it was several members of, was it the U.S. figure skating team?
Yes.
Were on that flight. And it's just devastating. You think about, in some cases, potentially entire families who were on that flight together.
Traveling from Wichita to D.C. for something. Carl, you had heard as well something about some Russian figure skaters.
A pair of Russian figure skaters who were the world champions in the 90s. And they have a son who skates for U.S. figure skating who's 15. I have heard that their bodies have been found, but not the son's.
Wow. 60 is really not that high of a number. Like, it almost makes me wonder, yes, they're saying it was commercial, but it makes me wonder if this was, if you're saying there were, you said it was a Russian figure skater?
Well, they're Americans now.
Okay. Well, but maybe maybe this Russian plane was full of athletes, full of figure skaters.
That's possible, but I've flown on a lot of those Embraer and other regional jets, and they generally carry about 50 or 60 people. I don't know that it was necessarily a charter. If that's
what I wondered. Yeah, I mean, they're saying commercial.
Coincidentally,
but
you had the same flight.
I guess it's going to the same place. I guess it's possible that it was a charter, but we just lots of unanswered questions right now. As that gets cleared up, if there's any breaking news out of D.C., we will go live to a news conference or anything like that as it happens this morning. Let's get to a quick break here, Carl. Who do we have for our national anthem?
We're going to keep it mellow. We're going to have the sax quartet today.
All right.
Breaking news. I have called over to my counterparts at the White House, and I can confirm that President Trump has been made aware of this situation. And tragically, it appears that a military helicopter collided with a regional jet at DCA Airport right here in Washington, D.C. That's all I can confirm at this point in time. And I can just say that the thoughts and the prayers of the entire Trump administration are with all those that are involved. And we ask the public in this area to please stand by for guidance from law enforcement and allow them to do their jobs as they attempt to save lives right now.
All right, we're told that there is going to be a news conference of some sort coming up in the next hour. So when that happens, we'll bring it to you live here to the best of our ability. It looks like it may originate out of Wichita. Is that possible? It said some Wichita officials are planning a news conference, too. So I don't know if that's going to come out of Washington or out of Kansas, maybe with more details on who was on the aircraft. But when we get to that, we will we'll definitely let you know for sure. You know, back, I need to get to this RFK hearing yesterday. If you didn't watch any of it, I mean, the Democrats, clearly they've decided, as we talked about at the top of the hour, it's either going to be RFK or it's going to be Cash Patel. They've saved all of their anger, their dynamite, whatever they're going to use to try to blow up a nomination for these two men. They hate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The Democrats hate him. Now, why do you think that is? Because they've had him in to testify before and used him as a credible witness on a variety of environmental issues through the years when they wanted, you know, a smelt saved in a river somewhere in the north west. And now suddenly, because he's got a different opinion from them and he backs Donald Trump, that's probably the bigger issue here. He is public enemy number one to these Democrats. To watch Sanders blow up at him yesterday over a onesie was really the height of absurdity. Go to cut 12, Carl, please.
You have started a group called the Children's Health Defense. You're the originator. Right now, as I understand it, on their website, they are selling what's called onesies. These are little things, clothing for babies. One of them is titled Unfaxed, Unafraid. Next one, and they're sold for $26 a piece, by the way. Next one is No Vax, No Problem. Now, you're coming before this committee, and you say you're pro-vaccine. Just want to ask some questions. And yet your organization is making money selling a child's product to parents for $26, which casts fundamental doubt on the usefulness of vaccines. Can you tell us now that you will, now that you are pro-vaccine, that you're going to have your organization take these products off the market?
Senator, I have no power over that organization. I'm not part of it. I resigned from the board.
That was just a few months ago. You founded that. You certainly have power. You can make that call. Are you supportive of this?
I've had nothing to do with
leadership. Are you supportive of these onesies?
I'm supportive of vaccines.
Well, I think he feels as though there should be more research done about vaccines, and I think that's fair. And anybody who doesn't feel like, if people feel as though vaccines are completely 100% safe, then there should be no issue with people studying them, because the study should come back that the vaccines are safe and efficient.
Yeah.
So
and
you should welcome studies.
And it's interesting, and I'm not saying that Democrats are the only ones this has happened to, but Ron Wyden and certainly Elizabeth Warren and these others have a long list of donations to their campaigns from Big Pharma. So RFK is Big Pharma's enemy number one, and they are sending their minions among the Democrats, who they've heavily contributed to, out to make sure he doesn't become secretary, because they know what he's going to do. And they're going to spend any amount of money it takes to try to make sure that that doesn't happen. He would be their Big Pharma's worst nightmare, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim, and a little later, as I mentioned, we've got Shannon Bream, we've got Griff Jenkins, we've got full coverage of what's going on with this plane crash in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
If you are a regular listener of the show, you may have noticed that I've been off for about a week, and I just wanted to share kind of what's going on. We unexpectedly lost my mom last Wednesday, and it's been a lot.
I'm sure.
And if you follow me on Facebook, I posted some pictures and announced it yesterday. And I can't tell you how much it has meant to me to see people reaching out and supporting. Carl, I know you lost your parents at a young age. Mark, I know you lost your dad. And it's just, it got you. It's something I've lost grandparents, and my grandparents live with me for 15 and a half years.
Wow. Wow.
Believe it or not, my mom, I don't know how many of the women you know, how many of your wives would allow their in-laws to live with them for 15 and a half years, but we had an apartment in our basement. And that was just the kind of person my mom was. I mean, she was so incredibly devoted to family. And if you've met her, you would probably see that. Just one of the kindest people you'd ever meet. And I know it's easy for me to say that as your daughter, but I am telling you, you know, hearing from friends, childhood friends, hearing from people I now am close with, that's what I'm hearing. You know, you have one little interaction with her and she made you feel like you were seen. And that can be really hard to do, to meet people who can have that impact on you. And I think what's so sad is, I'm sure my mom knew she had an impact on people, but as morbid as this sounds, you kind of wonder, like, well, what kind of an impact will I have? You know, what would people say at my funeral, right? Because we all want to have a lasting impact, right? We want to leave this world a better place. And I don't think most people realize, like I said, I think my mom knows she made an impact, but hearing from so many people who have known known my mom and my dad together, they were about to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary this year in July. And gosh, I wish she could just read some of these comments that people have been leaving about her. And, you know, I've been processing this and I still have a long way to go. You know, you might hear me being a little quieter just because it can hit me at random times. I'm a little in shock still, even a week later. But I feel like a different person now for many reasons. But, you know, Mark, you and I have talked a lot on this show about how we worked in media. We worked in the TV news business for years, you a lot longer than I did. And we were the people who were told hours, sometimes less than hours after a horrible, horrible tragedy would happen, we were told to go out and talk to the victims' families. And that always made me so incredibly sad to do that. But I have such a different feeling about that now. And I can't read a headline now. Like I look for headlines every morning for this show. If you hear me do headlines at the top of the hour, I come in every morning before the show starts and I look at different websites and I make sure I get the top stories to report. And I see these headlines like community group pays tribute to 4-year-old killed in Castle Point. That's on Channel 4's. We're talking a lot about this horribly, horribly tragic plane crash out of Washington, D.C., where it doesn't sound like likely anyone survived. And I cannot read those headlines now the same way. You know, before I would, of course, that was so sad. And I empathize and I would think to myself, gosh, I can't imagine. But now going through this, having lost someone so close, I think, oh, my gosh, the family, I can't. I just instantly want to hug the family, and I just am thinking, oh my gosh, like the pain that they must be going through. It just has completely changed how I feel about these headlines, and it's changed me as a person as far as if a friend or a loved one in my life loses someone very close, I am going to be acting very different. You know, I'm not saying I'm a bad friend, but it's made me realize I could have done better. And I'm looking forward to growing from this in that way. And being there for people, because I have so appreciated people checking in and not even necessarily expecting a response from me, because obviously they understand we have a lot going on right now.
Right.
But just letting me know they're thinking of me has been really helpful.
Well, I mean, when something like that happens, Kim, you're without words, and we're all heartbroken for you. I agree, though, with what you just said. After my father passed away, I've been to untold number of funerals, obviously for my grandparents and others. But until my father passed and I had to go to that funeral and I looked at the faces of the people who showed up, only then did it hit me how important that is to the survivors. I was with you. If I had an acquaintance and they had lost a parent or something up until then, I would try to make the funeral, but oftentimes I'd find an excuse for why I couldn't go, and I just didn't put that importance on that for the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And I too have approached those things and those situations with other people mm-hmm. very differently since then. I agree.
Yeah. I think death, you know, I know many of you listening right now can relate, and I'm sure some of you have. In fact, someone wrote on my Facebook page that they lost their mom. She lost her mom 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So some of you might be experiencing this right now, and I'm so incredibly sorry for going through this. My heart aches for you. Death is something, even as an adult, you know, especially kids just have so many questions, including my nieces and nephews. You know, my son's not old enough. He'll be 2 on Saturday, but he's not old enough to obviously ask me questions about what's going on. But I've listened to my nieces and nephews try to understand what's happening. But even for adults, death is just something that there's so many questions and what ifs, and you replay everything back in your head of what could we have done differently and all these different things. And that's really challenging. And I think before, sometimes I've felt like, well, I don't want to bother them. You know, they have so much going on and they don't want to have to deal with a text from me. And that's something that I'm going to do differently, because sometimes it's so easy for me just to want to like completely avoid it, because yes. I feel awkward and I just don't want to be a burden to them. But that's something that I have very much. And again, I know everyone handles grief differently. Some of you might not want anybody reaching out to you. Some of you don't want to hear those memories about your loved ones, or at least yet, because it's hard. But for me personally, it means so much when somebody had an interaction with my mom and I can read about that. Like somebody wrote on the obituary in the funeral home, you can share memories. And I've so enjoyed reading some of those. And gosh, it feels good to smile, because there's been a lot of heartache over the last week. And someone talked about how she remembered years ago my mom being the only one who ever really walked around barefoot, like all the time. She just loved being barefoot. And that's just so random. And I shared it with my two sisters and my dad. And I am so grateful that we all live within 15 minutes of each other. So
right.
We've been around, we're an extremely tight-knit family. And we got together all the time. And so I was able to share that with them and, you know, make them smile. And what is special is, and I'm trying to look for the blessings in all of what's going on, because that's really all I can do at this point, and to honor my mom, which I just so appreciate the ability to do that now. And I want you all to know how incredible she was and how much I miss her. But I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I have so many thoughts going through my head.
I had an opportunity to meet her, I think, two times, right? A couple of occasions,
yeah.
And what a sweet lady.
She was a listener for almost every morning. She and my dad, they would listen on Facebook, and sometimes I would get a text message from her, and she's just really, she definitely made an impact. And so, I just appreciate, I know you guys are commenting right now on Facebook right now, those of you who are listening, so I appreciate that, and I just hope you all can have some grace for me as I try to navigate this. And I know you both have been great. Everyone here at Odyssey at 97.1 has been fantastic and so understanding. And that's all you can really pray for, right, is a good support system and an employer who understands kind of what's going on. So for all of you who are listening, who are dealing with us, like, please just, I'm hugging you because I've never experienced heartache like this. And I know it will take time and I will be able to look back and smile and have so many fond memories of her. And I do. And we've been able to share those in the last week. But just with it having happened so recently, it's just a lot of processing right now.
I'm sure. Well, you know, our hearts go out to you and obviously your dad, Hugh, and your sisters and brothers-in-law and your whole family.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Kim. We'll be back right after this.
We should note here that the military is now confirming there were three soldiers on board the Black Hawk helicopter. We do not know, by the way, their condition. We don't know if they survived. And when Chad talks about the airplane having 60 people on board, when he says 60 souls, it's an aviation term. It has nothing to do with whether they are alive or dead. It is simply an aviation term that says 60 souls on board. I want to bring in.
So those numbers are being updated this morning. They're now reporting that there were 64 people in total aboard the aircraft. For all I know, that meant there were 60 passengers and four crew members. We don't have details beyond that. We did know there were three members on the military helicopter that crashed just outside Reagan International Airport there in D.C. And we are going to get a news conference here at about 6:30 Central Time. So in 40 minutes or so, 38 minutes. So we will carry that live on the air for you at the bottom of the hour as they start to update some of the information here as it starts to get daylight. Breaking there in D.C., you're getting a few more details because obviously this happened in the dark at around 8 o'clock last night is when the crash happened. Everybody's seen the video by now, but this is the part of the Potomac there where Sullivan landed that aircraft. Remember when the engines failed that time, right? It would have been right about the same area, I think. I can't swear to that. It wasn't far from there. And so when we get more details on this, we'll update you. That's all I meant to say about that. So that's coming up here. By the way, of course, three weeks ago, we learned that Channel 5 is moving from downtown. Did you see that, Carl?
I'm sure you're going to talk about this other business that's leaving downtown.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now leaving downtown.
Staying in the city.
Well, and Channel 5 stressed that, too. And according to Reddit and several other rumor mill is they're moving into the old iHeart building, which is right across from Forest Park,
which is where almost where Channel 2 used to be.
Channel 2 used to be right there at Hampton and 40. Now there's on the footprint of where the Mercedes dealership is now, right?
I mean, you just have to wonder what types of tax incentives the city is giving them. I just picture Tashara Jones begging on her hands and knees for these companies to stay in the city. Because otherwise, why would you not move outside city limits unless there was some big tax incentive? I understand the whole idea of, well, you have probably people who work in Illinois and people coming from St. Charles County, so you're hoping not to change the commute too much for people. But moving just beyond the city limit into Maplewood, for example, you know, one of those areas, Richmond Heights, wouldn't be too different.
I think there's one reason. So first of all, they were at Ballpark Village. The Business Journal was in that space down there where we've had a couple of meetings, I think, for our company. They were at a shared workspace near Ballpark Village is where they were working out of. And now they suddenly decided that they're leaving. And here's what they said, because here's at least what I appreciate, a little shred of honesty from News Channel 5, because they said almost the exact same thing when they announced they were moving from downtown. We're staying within the city, but we're excited to find a new home for our team that offers security, convenient and safe parking, and a reasonable commute time. I don't know who that's reasonable for, unless you assume everybody who works there lives in the city. But they're honest about it. The parking and the safety are a big deal. Like, I mean, News Channel 5's parking situation sucked. They either had to park at Stadium West parking garage and walk three blocks in the dark if depending on what shift they worked. There was limited street parking, and if your building is in Ballpark Village, you either have to pay to park in that surface lot down there, or you have to park on the street halfway down Broadway and hike up there.
I wonder how many employees would be willing to increase their commute by, say, 10 minutes if it meant that they had a secure parking lot that was adjacent to the building and not three blocks away in the downtown area where they're worried about getting robbed.
It's sad. And this, and we're going to talk about this in the next hour. Even yesterday, the full court press is on right now by the city. They put the Chief Tracy on Channel 4 yesterday for a 30-minute sit-down interview with the anchor over there, Samantha. And he's insulting Nick Schroer and any other state representative or senator that lives outside of the city who is pushing for state control. He's angry about it because the mayor's angry about it. But they're not going to stop this freight train. I've got news for you. The state will take control back at the St. Louis City Police Department because the chief's got to say what the mayor wants the chief to say. I mean, that's just my opinion because he works for her. But I'm certain he would much rather not have to answer to her and her political whims, which includes defunding the police. So all that and more. We'll get to more details on that for you coming up. And an update on what one part of the city is doing to guarantee snow removal. And all that and more right after the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.